The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding, and Happy New Year. This is my first time back in the studio since the first of the year. I took a little bit of a break. It was wonderful. My mom has recently moved up here, and we're able to spend time with my mom and her husband. And it was my oldest daughter, Sydney's, last Christmas at home before she heads off to college. And I gotta be honest, I'm having a bit of a hard time with it. I can hardly remember my life. I mean, I remember it, but man, it is gonna be tough to not wake up and see her and just go do things with her. And it's just, you know, I'm trying to cram everything in, but of course she wants to hang out with her friends. It is a time, it is a big time of transition. And I understand that eventually someday we'll have grandkids and that'll be great. In this particular time, it's just a little bit, I mean, I can't wait to see. I don't know where she's gonna go to college yet. She's got a few different colleges she's looking at. You know, I'm excited to see where she go, what is her major, watch her grow as a person and all that. And then I have my youngest who's still got a couple years with us. Yeah, it's just weird. It's just, I guess when your first one goes off, I guess there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that change from the day she was born until the day she leaves. That's a big, 18 years. That's a big, big chunk of life. And it's been quite a journey. And of course the journey will continue. And, my niece, who is, pretty much like part of our, she's not even really my niece, but she's pretty much like part of our family. She moved out. We lived across the street from her in Hawaii and in this little quaint little town. And she was just part of the, she was right outside the room when both my daughters were born. And she's been like that part of our family. We've known her since she was four. She came and moved in with us. Well, originally she went to Boone from Hawaii to Boone. So that first winter on her was pretty tough. She went there to get her RN, and then she really felt like she wanted to be in Des Moines. And so she moved in with us in Des Moines and finished at DMAC in Des Moines. But anyway, she's doing a travel nursing stint out in San Diego. So she came and spent New Year's with us, and that was really nice. It was nice having her around, and her boyfriend is deployed, and they're gonna come stay with us for a little while when he gets back. So it's a nice time to be with family and with people you love. And, you know, having my mom around now is great, because my kids, she hasn't lived with them for a long time. My stepdad has some issues with his memory, and it's tough to leave him alone. So she hadn't been getting up here to see the kids. So she's only seen him once a year for the last 5 years. And now they stop by with their boyfriends, and they play Scrabble with her, and we all go over there for Sunday dinners. And it's just really nice. And so I guess if there's a word, there's a couple words to describe this New Year's for me. One is absolute gratitude. I'm so grateful to, you know, have the family around that I do, and to be able to do what I do for a living, which I really enjoy, and help people and do that for a living is wonderful, you know, to have that family around. But at the same time, there's this trepidation of, gosh, my girl's leaving me. What am I going to do? What am I going to do without her? But I know that's the way it goes. That's what you're supposed to do, is just let them go. And I know grandkids will come at some point, but she's only, you know, 18. No, she's not even 8. She won't be. She's going to get to college and be 17 for a month or for a few weeks anyway. So that's going to be crazy. You know, I would guess it's a good 10 years before we have any grandkids. So I guess my niece could have some before then, so we could have pseudo grandkids. But anyway, that's how my year is going. I hope your year is additionally filled with gratitude, and I hope that you had a good holiday season, and I hope you're excited about the possibilities of the new year. So I'm going to start with, okay, it's winter. We've had a little break from the precipitation, but ice is coming back. And again, I say this, you know, I was an avid surfer for couple decades in, you know, living in Hawaii and places like that. What they say in surfing is when in doubt, don't go out. That means if you're looking at the waves and you're thinking, that's kind of right at the edge of what I'm capable of, don't go out because it could get bigger. So just if there's any trepidation, just don't go out. That's what I would say about weather when you get to be at least in your 60s and certainly in your 70s. I mean, if you have any trepidation at all, you know, just stay inside. You know, you can most places. I know it's not quite as much in rural Iowa. It's not quite as available, but you can DoorDash what you need and Hy-Vee delivers. You can get friends and neighbors. Just don't go break your hip. We've seen a fair number of them recently, as we always do, is we get wrists, hips, and ankles. People slipping on the ice, and it's, you know, when it's this cold, it can be deceptive with that ice. So be safe with that. And the other thing I wanted to talk about as far as getting back to the nuts and bolts of this program, it is called Let's Talk Orthopedics. So I wanted to give an update on shoulders, on shoulder rotator cuffs, and because I've sort of done, I would guess, in the last year and a half, 2 years, there's been some things that have changed significantly in how I'm approaching different rotator cuff issues. So I'll start with just a review of what the rotator cuff is. So the rotator cuff are the tendons that the shoulder is a, we'll just start with a bony anatomy. The shoulder is a ball and a socket joint. The socket's not like the hip socket where it covers it up. The socket in the shoulder is very shallow, and it doesn't go around the ball at all. It's just kind of a shallow little cup that the ball rides in. And the stability of the shoulder comes from muscles and ligaments and tendons. So you contrast that with the hip. The stability of the hip, mostly, most of the stability in your native hip is just bony. I mean, because the acetabulum is the hip socket, and that comes almost all the way around. It covers a significant amount of the head of the femur. So, you know, it's not as easy to dislocate a hip. You almost never see hip dislocation. Hip dislocations occur much more frequently after you've had a hip replacement, but even then it's rare. But a person doesn't just fall and dislocate their hip. That doesn't happen. You can definitely fall and dislocate your shoulder. And hip dislocations can happen, but they're just super rare because of that bony architecture. So in the shoulder, you are really counting on your tendons and ligaments and the capsule itself. The capsule is the material that kind of holds, so the first layer, shall we say. So you have the socket, it's bony. There's a little lip around it we call the labrum. The biceps comes in and attaches to that. Then you have the capsule, and the capsule is that first sort of layer. And then you have the rotator cuff tendons, and those tendons are all very deep. So when you touch your shoulder, if you put your hand on your shoulder out to the side there a little bit, that's your deltoid. So all of these tendons are underneath that. And the origin of these muscles, where they start, is on the shoulder blade. And then they come over and attach to the humeral head, and they rotate your shoulder around. The supraspinatus is the one on the top, and that essentially takes your shoulder straight out to the side. It's called abduction, abduction. That's just the sort of the technical term for that motion. And then your internal and external rotation, and those come from your rotator cuff, and they're assisted by the deltoid. All these muscles are, all these motions are assisted by the deltoid, especially your abduction. And then you have your latissimus and your pectoralis, so your chest muscle and your back muscle. All the bodybuilders and the people who work out know these muscles. But the rotator cuff are the primary rotators of the shoulder deep. And it tends to tear right at the insertion of the supraspinatus, so at the top. And the reason for that, we think, is the fact that the blood supply there is not a direct blood supply, but it's more of what we call a watershed blood supply. So the blood doesn't directly insert into the tendons there. It kind of just goes into sort of a pool, and so it doesn't have as good, and then there as good of a supply of blood, which takes all the oxygen and the nutrients to the tissue. In addition to that, there's a lot of stress on that muscle, because if you're lifting up your arm, if you think about it, you know, you're lifting your whole arm based on a muscle that is our tendon, and so muscles attach tendon to bone and ligaments attach bone to bone. So a tendon that is attached at a very mechanically unfavorable place, because like if you were going to attach a rope to something, you would attach it farther down, but you know, it's just, that's the anatomy. So when they start to tear, then you have to deal with it because you'll start to have pain. And with partial thickness rotator cuff tears, a lot of times you can work that out with physical therapy. It does not thicken the cuff. It does not make the cuff better, but it can help your other muscles to compensate for what the cuff is typically doing. And some people get along well with it. And so in the past, we've not operated as much on partial tears until you're really, really, really down the road on it. Well, nowadays, we have these new technologies. And we talked about the Regeniten patch, which I have used in the past a lot, and used to use it for all large cuff tears and all small cuff tears. Well, now, and I had it done in my shoulder for my small cuff tear, so it was a partial thickness tear. The cuff was not torn all the way through. I had it done. It was life-changing. I sleep without pain. I work out all the time. I push it pretty hard. I mountain bike, I surf when I'm on vacation, I do whatever I want. And so that has led towards being a little bit more aggressive surgically with these partial tears, because that particular Regeniten patch that I put on there does actually thicken the cuff. But what's come along more recently, and what I've started to use on all the larger tears, is the company's named Anika, A-N-I-K-A. And they came up with a rotator cuff patch, and this patch is a little, it's called the Integrity patch, and it's a little bit different. It's actually a lot different. So it has, it's a mesh, and it has hyaluronic acid in it. And so that's one of the substructure molecules that builds up the tendon itself. It also has suture in it. So on the bigger cuff tears, what I'm doing is I'm putting this patch on top of my repair. So typically when the cuff tears all the way, you put some anchors, usually with any kind of a decent sized tear, you're going to use four anchors. So two anchors on the inside and two anchors on the outside, and patch them together, and it's called a speed bridge, and that tacks it down very nicely. But now on top of that, we put, or I've been putting this Anika patch, and so what that does is that mesh gives it some strength, and then it integrates into and strengthens up the cuff. So I've still been using the Regeniten mostly for the partial tears, but I am going to talk to some of the guys who designed it and using the Anika patch, and I might consider starting to go with that even for my partial tears. But at this point, I'm still using the Anika patch, the patch that is suture material and biologic material. I'm using that on all the large cuff tears. And so that's kind of it's a big change, and I think it's just another advancement on, you know, how we're approaching things. And then I've started to use a continuous passive motion machine. So this is a chair that they'll bring to your house, and I use this certainly on all the big cuffs that I put the Anika patch on. And what it does is it allows you to have your arm moved for you. So in a large cuff tear, my physical therapy protocol would be, typically I would start at a couple weeks, and I would tell the therapist, passive range of motion only. Okay, so they're moving it for you. I don't want you putting any motion in your shoulder, because that's going to really stress the repair and could cause a re-tear. And in the thousands of shoulder surgeries I've done, I've only had, I think, one early re-tear or two. I mean, just it's super rare. And I've seen a lot of people who have had more aggressive physical therapy have re-tears. And so I don't like that. I don't want to go back in because, you know, therapy was too aggressive. So now I just use the continuous passive motion machine. They drop it at your house. It moves your shoulder for you. It's not going to rip it out because it's all passive. In other words, you're not moving your shoulder. Then when you're done with that, you have a bunch more visits for the time when you do start active therapy, and the therapist can put some stretches on it and stuff. So these have been some pretty significant improvements, I believe, in the protocol that we're using for rotator cuff tears. And it's interesting, you know, medicine continues to advance. Sometimes it's just slow, steady progress like this. I think this is all stuff that's really good and significantly good, but it's not a game changer like the Mako robot in the shoulder, in the knees and hips. By the way, Mako is supposedly going to start being available for use in shoulders. We'll see. They've been talking about it for a while, and they said, oh, this is the year, so we may start to do robotic shoulders. I would do that on my reverses, but not on my totals, and that's a whole different discussion as to why. it's because the total that I use is a resurfacing type total, so it's kind of a different mechanism altogether. But yeah, so that's what we're doing. That's what I'm doing differently, and that's why I'm doing it differently. And I continue to look back, you know, 10 years and see what I was doing 10 years ago, and it continues to be more and more different, and these new things come out, and I don't jump on really big changes that are new. For instance, the company that I use for the resurfacing shoulder, it's excellent. I've been using it for, more than 10 years, and it has a great track record. Well, that company came out with a reverse total shoulder, and of course, the rep said, oh, hey, you know, you want to try our reverse? I said, no, I don't. I want that to go out and be tried in thousands of patients before I try it, because that's a big change. You know, here's a brand new, you know, they've done a few studies and they thought it sounded good. And so, well, turns out that one isn't as good as the reverse isn't as good as they thought. And so I skipped out on that. I've been continuing to use the tried and true one that has been gone in hundreds of thousands of patients and does great. So I didn't change that. So one of the things you have to balance as a surgeon or as a physician is, what am I going to add and what am I going to pass on? And for me, anything that's really big, like just a real dramatic change, and not like the robot. Like the robot was a no-brainer to start using that because there was no downside to it. But if you're going to change the type of implant you use for a joint to a new model that has not been tried, I think, you know, they're that's not something I want to do. And so I didn't. So anyway, you know, like I said, it's a continuing evolution of the practice. You know, I would guess overall, I have about 10 more years to practice. I'm 55. I'll probably practice full time till I'm 62. And then maybe, I guess I might go to 70, but it'll be much more part-time stuff, because I do love what I do, and you know, it's nice. There's some stress involved, of course, and actually, I say some. There's a lot. I mean, but at the same time, I go through a week in the office, and 99% of your patients or 95% of your patients are super happy, and their lives are transformed. It's a good thing. It'll be tough to give that up, but I don't have to worry about that until my youngest is done with college. So that's another 6 years. I can talk about it in 6 years. So we like I said, we continue to evolve in how we're practicing, and new scientists and engineers and physicians are coming up with new things all the time. I was involved in that kind of stuff for a couple years when I was at the University of Illinois, but not been doing any research in the last 10 years here in Iowa. So just kind of letting the people in the academic centers and the companies come up with new stuff and trying to determine what I want to add in and what I don't. And it usually comes down to, has there been a long-term, have there been thousands of patients that this has gone in and they've done well? That's like my baseline for starting to any kind of a major change. So again, Happy New Year. I'm glad to be back at work and I'm doing surgeries again and that kind of stuff. It was a wonderful break, and it certainly made me treasure time with family even more, you know, because you get a little bit of it and you get a little bit more of it, and I just want more. But like I said, my oldest will be heading off to college. I'll let you know where she decides to go and how she does and all that. But I know there's a lot of people going through that right now, and it can be tough. But Happy New Year. Again, I always mention beginning of the year is a great time. I've started hardcore on my carnivore diet again because I gained about 25 pounds last year after having lost 50-something the year before. So I'm back on the carnivore diet trying to get down. I mean, I look okay. I just want to be a little bit slimmer and just for overall cardiovascular health and metabolic health and joint health and all that. But I hope that if your health is not good, I hope you take this opportunity at the beginning of the year here to commit to having a healthier year, because you can be sitting right here at New Year's 2027 saying, hey man, I took that last year and I really got myself healthier. So please do that. Talk to your doctor about what you can do. Obviously there's a lot of things that you don't need to talk to your doctor about. Stop drinking sodas, stop eating junk food, and get some exercise. That's pretty straightforward stuff. So with that, I will be back next week, and you have a blessed week, Iowa.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.